Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day in St. Paul, Minnesota. Getting a lot of outdoor projects going. And how nice it is to let the sun rays give you that vitamin D and keep you healthy. And all that exercise I get outside, watering the garden or fixing the house. But let's get to the subject. And I just want to, today's precept is sayings of Christ forbidden from the Bible. Why? Part one. And I just want to explain that I'll be doing at least three sayings of Christ that are found in the Gnostic Gospel. And I appreciate Brother Job and Sister Raya that as this blog is about the Bible, and I'm kind of going outside the Bible, that you're putting something that relates to the blog at hand. So a quote from the actual Bible. But I want to get into this because I think it's important that if Christ did have certain sayings, why were they left out of the Bible? So I'll get into that very shortly. But let me remind you that the theme that I have for this blog is visible secrets, invisible power. And what that is how we're at these exceptional times, Armageddon, if you will, where, in my belief, we're heading toward that. We're actually in it now because, in my opinion, the climate is collapsing so fast. It becomes a choice now, especially for those in the developed world, the so-called first world in Europe or China or the United States, but especially here, that each and all of us at some point very soon are going to find out that a collapsing climate is going to radically change things, whether we like it or not. And it may bring on megadeth. It will bring on megadeth. There's just no doubt we're going to crash, in my opinion. And that's a very hard thing to realize, because if you have a beautiful sunny day like right now where I live, and it's just the right temperature, maybe a little warmer than average, but next thing you know, we'll get colder than average. So everything seems so normal in the Midwest and most of the eastern United States. Yet, how are people going to know that most of the rest of the world is much warmer? For example, the fires in Australia that happened, or the melting icebergs. Not the melting icebergs, but the melting poles. And the icebergs in those poles, as well as the whole ice mass, the volume. scientist, this is pure physics, 1 + 1 = 2. The volume of the ice in the poles has gone down tremendously fast, much more so than scientists predicted. And as is typical human response, headlines come out in scientific magazines that say, well, the ice is low, because they have to report it. It's so obvious it has to be reported, but they always want to say, well, this could, may, might be a problem. No, it isn't could, may, might. It is a huge problem. So we always, the scientist community, the academic community, the political community, they always want to soften things, it seems, because they don't want panic. But, you know, when a person's faced with cancer, well, the quicker they embrace and acknowledge that they've got it, there's going to be a feeling of panic, of course, but the quicker you embrace the panic, the quicker you can deal with it. So that's what I'm trying to say. You know, we can't turn a blind eye to an oncoming train, and that's what I believe is happening. So the visible secrets, yes, the grid sky that we sometimes see, jets up high, cobweb sky. What manipulates the particles that these jets spray? Well, it's microwave technology, basically, that the aluminum nanoparticles that get sprayed in the air, among other metals, among other chemicals, can be manipulated. The vapor that's in the air, they overwhelm the vapor, they spread out the vapor so that it doesn't rain in one place, and then they can move it to another place where it will meet up with other vapor and create a lot of precipitation. So the weather whiplash effect of climate engineering, weather modification, aka weather warfare, is drought and deluge. So we create, or the weather keepers create, this huge imbalance in the weather, basically hacking the climate. So, as Dane Wigington, author of GeoengineeringWatch.org, says, climate engineering is the number one piece of the puzzle, the biggest piece of the puzzle. Not that there aren't myriad other pieces of the puzzle that contribute to this crisis we're facing of an overheating climate, the number one disruptive and destructive factor, and yet so many in our population and populations throughout the globe are unaware of this covert tool, that even though there's government documents, thousands of pages of documents about geoengineering, climate engineering, it's kept hidden from the public because, for one thing, employees are under gag order. Weathermen cannot talk. The weather folks cannot talk about it. It's under non-disclosure. They can't reveal that this technology is currently operating. Instead, the official narrative is that climate engineering is just a proposal, something we could do. We could put jets up in the sky and have them spray particles to help create this dimming effect so that the sun's rays get reflected and scattered instead of, long has been known, long has criticized by those who have the true courage to say so, the long-term effect, whether it cools or not in short term, the long-term effect of climate engineering is like putting a bellows on a fireplace, where you're pumping the bellows and it heats up the fire ever more so. It's evil, it's diabolical. One can ask, how did we get to this point? But anyways, I just want to get that clear explanation how it's so important, because it seems to me the ultimate big piece on the puzzle. And I will be talking about a puzzle that I have developed that I plan to give to postal workers, along with photo fact sheets about climate engineering. I just want to do my part so that I'm spreading spot fires of awareness to the population, because this is a spiritual battle, and I've said this many times in past blogs. Each and all of us need to awaken to what is truth and what is false. And these days of fake news and confusion and people being kept so busy in this capitalist system, either unemployed by the millions looking for a job or employed and overworked and not having time to really sort out the facts. It's very difficult. So I'll share some things that I hope and I'm sure will be of interest. But what I also will start with today is just asking a question. And that is, have you ever had a cause that's really compelling, you know, a social cause? My wife, for example, is in education. She's part of affirmative action committee. And she, you know, shares with great enthusiasm what kind of changes need to be done so that justice is served and that people don't get left out. And in my case, I know I've taken photo fact sheets from geoengineeringwatch.org. The fact sheet you can find immediately on the website, geoengineeringwatch.org, with just a click of the button, a click of the mouse, and you'll see a booklet on the left side column or a fact sheet, and you'll see it right away. So if you're curious, please do so. But anyways, that fact sheet shows what used to be, where you'd see perfectly beautiful cumulus clouds on a sunny day. Everything looks fresh. Or the other pictures and contracts show these cobweb skies, and it's just an ugly haze of silvery gray oblique clouds, and you know, caused by this weather technology. And in the back, there's fact sheets about how this poison that they spray affects the health of all creatures and humanity. You know, shreds the ozone, creates weather whiplash, etc. That's for you to check. But my point again, my question is, when you have a cause and you're really compelled by it, I've had the experience where I'll talk to somebody and I say, here's a photo fact sheet. And I'll start saying, have you noticed the fires in California or something like that? But I've talked myself so long, you know, a long rap, somebody that I want to impact. And what I've learned is that they don't want to hear you. If you're spewing out too many words, it's as if, geez, this person's got an agenda, you know? They're so into their words and they like to hear themselves speak that, you know, the person they're talking to who's unfamiliar maybe with the topic or not, you know, busy doing other things, they're immediately turned off. Their self-defenses come up. And Dane Wigington, the director of this geoengineeringwatch.org, has said, yes, I've learned over time that a short rap, you can't say too many words, you can't go on a rant, or you're going to scare people away. You're not effectively spreading spot fires of awareness. So I'll just lead on as to the introduction of this Gnostic gospel saying of Christ and explain from the viewpoint of the author of the mustard seed, which is Osho. That's his name. He lived back in the 60s, or very popular back then and long since deceased. But he was, in many ways, in my opinion, a prophet, a sage, because he was able to take this Eastern mystical thought of Gnosticism and explain to the Western civilization, especially as he settled here in the United States, what was going on with these sayings of Christ and how, you know, and why they were so important, let alone why some of them were excluded from the Bible. I think it's very interesting. So, again, when we get caught up in ourselves in the point that we are missing the point, plain and simple, one only has to dig a little into the international news to find that the stock market keeps going up, while the world keeps going down in smoke. Things are too obvious. Things that are too obvious can't be censored, even if they are hidden in the back papers or mainstream media. As long as one has a job, which self-included, I'm fortunate, it's too easy to carry on as if things will go back to normal. You know, I think those people, like in Redding, California, they've been exposed to fire. And Dane Wigington has done his best to get out to them. For example, now he sent photo fact sheets to all the fire chiefs and the organizations that deal with fire. And it's taken him a while. He's making progress, but it takes patience. So, you know, there's been fires, and people in Reading will still ignore that and not connect it to the fact that it's not just their backyard, but it's all over the earth that these fires are increasing at an exponential rate. It's too easy to be caught up in one's own work or lifestyle to not, you know, do an investigation. It takes courage to investigate some ugly facts that, yes, indeed, fires have exponentially increased. Why are there fires in Siberia? Why are there fires in Australia? Why are there fires, where did I see, in Bolivia, et cetera, et cetera. And I must say, the fires in Bolivia, I believe what's her name? She's the child superstar of the environment, Greta Thunberg. You know, she does tweets, and she's a person that basically projects the dots. You know, what you see throughout, she shares. When she sees photos or clips of students voicing their frustration with climate change or so-called climate collapse, she projects it onto the website, which Twitter. I forget the name because I don't use Twitter much, but she projects it on the website Twitter and other websites. But she has this immense power, and how frustrating it is, too, that she doesn't mention climate engineering because, again, it's taboo. And those who surround her, the powers that be, do everything they can to shield her from that topic. So if I could get to her, what I'd give is spend some time with Greta and talk about this climate engineering, a.k.a. weather warfare. So, again, one can go to a nature reserve after their job, after a week of work, and paradise remains unchanged here in Minnesota and measuring, it's reassuring. On the other hand, tent encampments of the homeless are now commonplace, even, you know, within a mile of my house across from the lake. So the fifth saying of the Gnostic teachings of Jesus starts as follows. If you fast, you will beget sins for yourself. And if you pray, you will become condemned. And it continues on. Pardon me, I lost my place temporarily. You'll be condemned. And if you give alms, you will do evil to your spirits. And if you go into any land and wander in the regions, if they receive you, eat what they set before you, and heal the sick among them. For what goes into your mouth will not defile you, but what comes out of your mouth, that is what will defile you. So, as you can see, this would have been a very controversial thing to put in the forming of the Christian church when, as things began after Christ, because if these things were true, or if you took these words to heart, then why bother praying? Why bother fasting? Why bother going to church? It's like the ministers, the priest, the religious spiritual people would be out of business. But it's a very difficult saying, but let me explain a little bit what it's meant. And again, as I introduced the blog, we talk about agendas. And to put it simple, if you're so full of yourself with an agenda that you're kind of blind to others, then it's you're into your ego and you're not into the present moment. You're not feeling, you're not showing. When you're in your being, you have like a fragrance about you that generally attracts people. And even if they aren't attracted, they're not going to be so offended. So if you have an agenda and that's you're so into yourself that you're trying to sound like you're really smart or something like that, you're impressed with yourself, of course that's going to turn people off. And that's the basic message that Jesus is saying here, that we can pray for people for our own reason to satisfy ourselves that we're helping somebody when in reality we're kind of just going through the motions to help ourselves and to make us think that we're holier than thou or something like that. And let me just read a little bit beyond how the author Osho introduces this topic. I'm a little blurry-eyed today. Pardon me, so I missed the reading. It's kind of hard. Maybe at my age of 65, just as my co-worker, I need to get cataracts taken care of. That's why my shift change and I'm starting late to get up to prepare today is my co-worker has a cataract operation. So I hope the best for him. This is a very strange saying, but very significant. Also, it looks strange because man is not real. He lives in falsity. So whatsoever he does, it is going to be false. If you pray, you will pray for the wrong reasons. If you fast, you will fast for the wrong reasons, because you are wrong. So the question is not what is right to do. The question is how to be right in your being. If your being is right, automatically. But if your being is not right, not centered, not authentic, then whatsoever you do is going to be wrong. So I gave some examples of that, and maybe I'll go on and read into the 20 pages of explanation that he has, but honestly, I haven't prepared that very well. So let me get on to some things that I think are very important so that when I do them and discuss them, I'm calm with myself and I'm there to get dialogue going. That's so important that if you are perceived as having an agenda, you're just spilling out facts. You aren't asking people what they think. And it's easy once you get going, once you get a dialogue, it's great. It's a liberating thing because, you know, those spot fires are gathering momentum, spot fires of awareness. So there's a couple interesting things about the plandemic. And I say plandemic because to this day, I'm very convinced that the pandemic, once again, you cannot point at nature as the fault, that it's some bats were sick and it just jumped into humans. In nature, something like that, according to Judy Mikowitz, is like once every 200 years where there's some kind of animal disease that jumps into human. In science terms, that's called gain of function. And in this case of the pandemic, the gain of function is from a bat to a human, and it was done in a lab, and it can be done in as little as 6 months, not 200 years. Now, do humans engineer it? According to Judy Mikovits? No. But what we do and what humans do in a lab is when they make cultures, they can keep testing and testing and testing so that the cell culture of a bat, for example, when you harvest them and you put the virus into a human tissue culture, at some point, you know, of a million trials, millions of trials, there's going to be a virus that sticks, one that can actually survive in a human cell culture. So that's how they produce these beasties that are making the whole world miserable. And that, according to Dane Wigington, this pandemic is secondary to the abrupt climate collapse, because the powers that be have known for several decades that we live in an unsustainable culture, a capitalist culture, as to put it simply, that is going to lead to a life support system collapse of this planet, that the planet as a living organism, it's long been known by those in power that it's going to collapse. So in a state of desperation to keep their grip on power and control, they use false flags and tricks like this pandemic to lock people down, because as things get worse, the more they want to control, the firmer the clench of the grip on power. So it's not a very good formula. As a eugenics person like Bill Gates, in my opinion, who's actually said, we can use vaccines to reduce the population. He's said that in public. I have a recording of it. So how interesting it is that somebody like Mr. Gates can buy himself into the World Health Organization with billions of dollars, who's not a doctor, and yet dictate policy. Again, as I've explained in past blogs, that's a form of fascism, where a government organization is not to be run in private hands. It's to be the choice of the people that it serves, not the choice of an owner or of a billionaire. So, you know, to continue this discussion, let me just say that Judy Mikovits, I've talked about her, but she actually has a film called Plandemic. So any listeners, please, it's only like a half hour, and you look it up just by the word Plandemic film or Plandemic video. And it's hard to access because it's not wanted by mainstream media. I didn't have too much problem. If you look under Bing or some search engine, it won't take you long. There's still some there are some websites that other than YouTube that have this video. And it's really compelling because Dr. Judy Mikovits goes back decades when she was 25 at the time of AIDS. Her publication put her in hot water because she had access to the virus that causes AIDS, you know, isolated in lab. It was isolated in France. And she was basically, she was pressured by Dr. Fauci very angrily. Fauci said, give me your paper. I need your paper. Fauci at the time was already a chief in the National Infectious, NAID, I think it's called. But he was already the head of this infectious disease department agency. So he wanted that isolated virus from France. He was demanding it. In fact, censored and destroyed Dr. Mikovits' career by, you know, saying, you know, threatening to put her in jail, blacklisting her. You know, I could go on and on, but I'll let you listen to that, because Dr. Judy, her mission was to heal, and what she was doing was something that could have healed millions of people in Africa very quickly. But it was Fauci who kept who somehow, through Dr. Mikovits's colleague, he had pressured that colleague when he arrived back home in the United States so severely, probably threatened with death, that the colleague gave up that isolated virus for access with Dr. Fauci, who could then make his own patented medication. Again, in Plandemic, you'll find how universities, that there's a law that allows universities to patent, that allows agencies to patent. So it's get rich by making people sick, in a way, because when you have vaccines, which have a proven track record of devastating injuries and death, yet, you know, complete immunity by the industry, other than, you know, money compensated for victims, it's just insane how, as Judy Mikovits describes in the film, it's like universities went on crack making patents for vaccines and medications for various diseases. And I'll end with that. But again, just the words plandemic, look it up in the search engine and educate yourself. Be courageous and share that with people if it bothers you. I'm sure it will. There was another point I wanted to get to, it, and I'm going to find it briefly here. It's in geoengineering. I wanted to give you an update on geoengineering, and it relates to the pandemic. And let's see if I can find the right one here. Yes, there's a Dr. Anthony Parks from London. He's a retired surgeon. He's way up there in the totem pole of doctors. And he wrote to Dane Wigington and said, well, here's his phrase. He says, when doctors refuse to even look at evidence on vaccine injuries or genetically engineered viruses, simply dismissing them as conspiracy theories, I truly fear for the future of humanity. Now, Dr. Parks, as a retired expert surgeon, decided to study this pandemic for all he was worth because he had the time to do so. And he clearly found the paper trail that Dr. Francis Boyle and others have laid plain, hidden in the media, but yet there's, you know, there's an accounting, just like climate engineering, there's documents that it is real and it is being applied, not some proposal. So he took what he found as pure evidence that indeed this pandemic or this virus is an engineered virus that, you know, if they knew it was there, then they spread it. It's not something, well, even if it accidentally left the lab, that has to be accounted for. Bat soup is not the explanation. So anyways, he shared with two of his esteemed colleagues who, as I understand, were still in practice or, you know, near the end of their career. And both of them would have nothing to do with his proof. They just turned a blind eye and said, you know, we're not dealing with this. So that's an example of the thick barrier we face in these times of Armageddon. We don't want to wake up good life, maybe a hectic life, but a life of convenience, but at the same time, a life of wars, a life of neurosis, a life of psychosis, a life of a lot of fear and discomfort and stress that, you know, is under human behavior. It's, as I say earlier, there's this regret theory that where 99% of the people were so programmed, it seems that the 1% who find the truth, the brave big sheep that walks out of the pasture and gets lost, that's exactly what's happening to this doctor. It's like he's been brave enough to find these ugly facts, but in a way he's lost because he's away from the herd and he's not supported. It's like it's him and his creator and that's it. As the saying goes in the Bible, you know, that large sheep, that brave sheep that had the courage to step outside of the pasture or the fence was the one that the shepherd most loved. It had that kind of courage and energy to take a risk and not be enclosed. And if I can find an example here fairly quickly, I might have the wrong spot here. Yes. Hold on with a moment, and I'll get another part from climate engineering that I think is very interesting. There's a person who blogs on geoengineeringwatch.org. This woman is outstanding. Ferguson is her last name. She mentions Paul Craig Roberts that was saying an international group of lawyers have brought lawsuit that the COVID pandemic is an orchestrated hoax in behalf of pharmaceutical profits and police state control. Wow, there's some people that are, I can't wait to find that video. If you go to geoengineeringwatch.org on the October 3rd, which is a Saturday, October 3rd radio program, on the right column, it's the top radio program, the top heading. It looks like a black cloud of smoke, which it is. It's an image of the fires in California. You click on that, and you will get the story. Near the top, you'll see Ms. Ferguson's comments. And in blue, you can click on that, and you'll have access to this video of this international lawsuit with a team of courageous people that are lawyers, etc., that are bringing about this lawsuit that the pandemic is a hoax. In other words, what they're saying is if you take fact, like the swine flu, that was labeled as a pandemic. And the standards for what a pandemic is, as I found out in this video, have actually changed to be something that can be just a flu that is, you know, not extremely threatening. It may be a bad flu, but now it can be labeled as a pandemic, when in the past that was just labeled as, you know, as what's the other word? I'm so used to the word pandemic, but, you know, just a problem flu. It wasn't labeled as a pandemic. So what these doctors are saying is that by changing terms, the public perception gets changed. And the word pandemic, you know, harks back to when 50 million died, you know, in the Spanish flu. It creates fear. And that's what time after time after time, the power structure, the criminal minds on top that are doing this destructive weather engineering, destructive virus spreading, are just insane. You know, why are they doing this? Like I say, it's a cancer. All they know is that they're addicted to power and control. And, you know, that's so important, lawsuits like this, where they're just telling the truth of what really is happening. And the lawsuit is just showing how it is providing factual evidence, for example, that the industry, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, so to speak, receives just zillions of dollars. So, for example, in the testing, the current test for AIDS is very inaccurate. So that's not even challenged. If that test is used and you're labeled with the coronavirus or the novel coronavirus, then hospitals get money. Lots of money. So the more they can label with this virus, with this false test, which they can prove, yes, it will, there is some correlation. You know, there is some truth to this test. But if a test is half wrong, half right, a scientist, any normal scientist will say, or any doctor with a bit of courage is going to say, something's wrong here. And we got to look into it. We have to deal with this. I'm not going to turn a blind eye so I can receive my paycheck and pension. It's that simple. So Paul Craig Roberts, again, has done several articles that get mentioned. A couple of other by Ms. Ferguson that or Ms. Ferguson that I want to mention are, let's see if I can go down a bit. Oh, masking ritual is all political theater. There were some Democrats, two Democrats, a man and a woman, that were doing a public forum, apparently, and they were joking about, well, let's do some political theater and take off our masks, as if they know that, you know, it's just a hoax, like I said, you know, this whole thing. It's not just those on the Republican or Trump side that say it's a hoax. It's just the fact that people are waking up to start questioning this whole thing. And justifiably, things like mask, though it divides people, some say you shouldn't have to, some say you should. There's groups that in general, including the World Health Organization, that say you don't need masks. You know, that was from the very start. But the point of it is, if biolabs are capable of producing a virus that's virulent, more virulent than the COVID-19 or the novel coronavirus, what's to stop them? You know, if they want to control and eliminate the population for themselves on a failing life support system in the world, if that's their plan, they want to slowly trick people. That's what you call hyperpredation, where people don't know they're being tricked. That's how predators work. There's nothing wrong with a predator so long as they follow the laws of nature. But when you violate the laws of nature, it's immoral, and it's God's rules. It's nature's rules. It will come back to bite you. And that's just what's happening with an abrupt climate collapse right now. So we can't let this, you know, in my opinion, I hope people search their souls and say, what's going on in the skies? What's going on with this pandemic? Even though I'm busy, let me take a look. Let me join with others. And if there's something that doesn't feel right in my heart, let's go fight for justice and let my anger be expressed, but in a way that's not going to harm others, but awaken others credibly. So an interesting question that Ms. Ferguson has is, are face mask and COVID rituals occultist symbols for submission? Think about that. That is quite a question, because symbolically, yes, we look like a bunch of slaves with these masks on. And that seems to be exactly what the criminal cabal wants and desires, this submission, this total submission, so that they can gradually put us away. That's what it seems. You know, how can you pour thousands and thousands, millions of gallons of chemical spray into the air, poison the air, land, and water, if that's not what you want to achieve? You know, to ruin people's lives, to get rid of them. There's so many people, apparently, we're a liability. So these are harsh opinions that I share, but I can't help but share them because, you know, I can't judge others of the 99% that don't know or that, you know, aren't acting on this crisis we face, because I was one of the 99%. I just happened into climate engineering, and I'm grateful, because it's sacred truth that I found. In other words, you know, I can't get around it as much as I'd like to. When you look up into the sky and you see cobwebs, I never question it, but I just happened into this fact, this truth, that, wow, if you can control this with invisible power, that's scary, because you can take whole regions of the climate and create this snowstorms. You can create super dry heat. And to program the weather, you know, are we God? Let nature do what it does, because nature is far more complex, far more sophisticated than we'll ever be. And as Edward Abbey says, live simply so that others can simply live. So, you know, we create such a complex world with our technologies, and yet technologies as a whole deteriorate nature, and nature, when given a chance, rejuvenates. So if we can take these poisons out of the sky, for example, there's going to be a whiplash effect, no doubt, because there will be less cloud cover, less dimming. There may be some quick heat. But you know what? And I'm going to discuss this if there's time. When you take away climate engineering, you're going to have more moisture. And that's so fundamental. If we're increasing fires by magnitudes all over the Earth, that means the Earth is drier. How can that be on a warming planet? How can the Earth be drier? Physics, according to Dane Wigington, it's a 1+1=2 kind of thing. Physics says that on a warming planet, we should be receiving multitudes more rain. Yes, there's drought and deluge. Yes, there's floods occurring on the Earth. All this unevenness, all this imbalance, the more we do things with our technology, the more imbalanced the Earth becomes. And the more it breaks down, the more it can't respond to the damage humans are doing. So that's an important statement. In a brief look at the time here, it's about 10 minutes left, so I think that'll work pretty well. I'm going to go to my climate engineering puzzle. And I got the idea. I was at the post office where I work, the post office hub, and a friend of mine that works as a clerk or expediter, as he's so called, got a copy of the crossword puzzle for the day. Now, my must be almost 12 years at the post office, 11 and a half, I've seen crossword puzzles. It used to be they'd distribute the New York Times and newspapers quite liberally to employees so that in downtime they could do crossword puzzles. And it's effective because, you know, when employees are stimulated and thinking, they're more alert and they do a better job. So it was very much tolerated that, you know, at when you have 5 minutes at your desk, you take the newspaper and you work on the crossword puzzle. Then you go back to work for an hour, maybe. After that, you get a break, and you spend 10 minutes on the crossword puzzle. So the puzzle I came up with is let's see if I can find it real quick. The title of it is Heroes Work Here. Go postal with this puzzle. And the Heroes Work Here is a sign you see almost everywhere. You know, people under this pandemic that are working, whether it's daycare or the post office, you'll see the sign, Heroes Work Here. It's like a patriotic sign to keep us all inspired. And go postal with this puzzle. To me, the word puzzle is very special because the easiest analogy for climate engineering is, as Dane Wigington said, climate engineering is the biggest piece of the puzzle. All the pieces, the myriad pieces of the puzzle of humanity and the here and now are many. And they're bigger, much bigger than climate engineering alone. But if there's one big piece that we can do something about and remove, then the momentum can start happening to start removing these pieces of the puzzle and get back to the Garden of Eden, to where it'll take, you know, countless millennia for this planet to heal. Do we reach a point where it's too late? Is the big question, where this so-called Armageddon of the Bible, of the Hopi Indians, of other foreseeing futurist, you know, projections of wise people, seeing that, you know, at some point in time, we lose balance too much, and what happens? Will we wake up? Will we act? So I just want to share with you some of the questions I put. So number five across, for example, most, if not all, modern jet engines are equipped with high bypass turbofans, thus eliminating long con densation trails. I put con in parentheses, better known as blank. Only in extremely rare conditions with these trails will these trails linger with significant length. Well, the blank, the answer in five across is contrails. It's short form of condensation trails, contrails. Number one down. In 2017, freedom of information, a freedom of information federal blank ongoing was initiated with Minnesota leadership following the same action initiated earlier by a Canadian legal team to disclose to the public the documentable impact, however destructive, disruptive, or constructive, of covert climate engineering operations. Well, one down is lawsuit. That would be the answer they put on the puzzle. So I'm basically giving a fill in the blank, but I think these facts are the, much the same as in the photo fact sheet of geoengineeringwatch.org. But I've added some other things that I think are very important that aren't in those fact sheets. So what I just shared to you about the globe, the Earth as a whole is drying. The relative humidity is drying when it should be much vastly increased. You know, that's a very important fact that for people to start connecting the dots and realizing, you know, we need a radical change in our behavior. It's we have our consumptive, technologically dependent way of living, our convenience way of living, where I can go to a convenience store and grab among 1,000 plastic bottles some kind of liquid. Or example as Daniel Quinn used, you know, if you have a, if you need a yam, why can't you just go get a yam out of a garden or come to a farm as they used to a few decades ago? Instead, we just go to the store and get a can of yams. Well, think of it. How much energy does it make? Does it take to make a can of yams versus just going to a farmer's market, grabbing the yams and boiling it at home? Or baking it, well, maybe it takes 50 people in a factory. Well, that's a lot of energy output. So, or how about that Häagen-Dazs ice cream? You know, you've got a whole team of people. So my point is I'm not here to put people out of work. I'm just, you know, in these times, there needs to be less impactful work, less impactful leisure. And it might be just a game of cards at home. You can have just as much fun playing a game of cards with your family versus being out to a stadium consuming hot dogs and beer. You know, as much as that's a joy to do, as Russell Means said in the last blog, you know, for the last 13,000 years, the few rule the many, and they have sown conflict and competition all along. So what about cooperation? You know, what about food co-ops, for example, where people own the co-op and run the co-op and use foods that are not so impactful, that it doesn't take so much consumption.
to use and to eat. Well, anyways, I'll finish with a few others in the crossword puzzle. The term used by Dane Wigington to describe extreme artificial changes in weather due to human intervention. And that term is weather whiplash. Blank nucleation is a patented process used by extensively when moisture is spread in over a region via climate engineering. Chemicals sprayed into the moisture create toxic low-level cool downs to vast regions, masking evidence of abrupt climate heating or collapse, confusing populations. Okay, what's another one here? 16 down. Reactive particles and electrosmog from climate engineering operations have greatly contributed to upper atmosphere blank depletion. And the word that for 16 down is ozone depletion. So these are some of the key elements, factors of climate engineering that, yes, you know, ozone, that's a very important word. If we have no ozone, we have no life on this planet. Why are we depleting it with climate engineering? And, of course, the challenge is the naysayers are going to say, well, prove it. And, you know, these are difficult things to prove. Ozone's way up there in the air. We aren't up there measuring it, per se. Or if it has been measured, there's ways to falsify the facts. But I'll give you an example of ozone depletion that Dane cited. The probability is extremely high where he went out into the wilderness, you know, 20 miles from any civilization. In Northern California where he lives. And there's a river where there's bullfrogs. And happily, Dane found bullfrogs there. But they were all dead. Now, previously he was able to collect some bullfrogs and put them in his own pond where he lives in a refuge, so to speak. And these frogs were in perfect shape. You know, they still had their fat. So what killed them? Why are they 3 feet from water and dead in their tracks? In the mud. You know, what's keeping them? How did they die instantly? And the likelihood is the reality of what's happening is that in an intensely sprayed area from jets, also with powerful ionospheric heat domes, the effect is to have an ozone hole. If you have an ozone hole, you're getting basically X-ray rays coming down. So you're missing that ozone protection. There's a UVB or a UVM. Pardon me for not knowing, but there's a ray that's very narrow. What we have, the rays that come through to Earth are rays that, you know, can give us a sunburn maybe if exposed for a long time. But there are some types of ultraviolet rays that are so narrow and so intense that they'll instantly burn our skin. Whereas whales in the ocean have been found to be badly sunburned, for example, that hasn't, you know, that raises question to any scientist. Why is this so? So, how sad that a living, thriving community, it's just gone in a blink. What caused it? Very likely ozone. So I could go on and on with this puzzle, but I haven't got it out yet. There's so many things to do, and I pray and hope that I find the energy and courage to get it printed so that I can start handing it out and have the courage to approach people and just say, hey, what do you think about the pandemic? Do you think it's planned, or do you think it's something of is a nature's fault, you know, some kind of introductory question, because that's an easy opening to engage in conversation. You know, as I've just discussed, I think a lot of people are waking up to, why are we wearing masks? Why do we have to live so miserably with masks? Why are we being, you know, it's like being a slave. And is it really nature that's doing it? Or is it just, you know, some crazy government criminal operation that's putting us under all this misery? Again, if the pandemic has different viruses mutating and so forth, yes, I'm not saying we can't wear masks, that we shouldn't wear masks, but the point of it is, what's the worth of political theater, right or left? You know, one to emphasize the pandemic, the other to de-emphasize abrupt climate change and call global warming a hoax. You know, it's just a plot, a political plot to for the powers that be to keep us divided. And the more we're divided, the more happy they are, the more success they have in controlling us, the more success they have in eliminating us as a liability. That's extremely ugly, but it's up to each and all of us. There's no other way. Each and all of us must decide to do our best to sort what's true, what's false. Truth is God. Truth is can't be changed. It's eternal. A fact is a fact. If somebody gets murdered, that's a fact. It can't be changed. So, as Judy Mikovits said, to conclude this, Dr. Fauci, by withholding the medication for AIDS for years that was taken from her colleague, well, there were literally millions of lives affected and thousands, if not millions, of deaths due to that delay. That's eugenics. And as who was it? Plato? I'm trying to think. Cicero. As Cicero said, you know, long, long, long time ago, beware of those who are in power. Beware of those who walk in the halls and talk like you and act like you. They are the most dangerous. They are to be feared more than murderers. Or, you know, somebody who's committed a crime against their family or murdered an individual. But people in power have the capability to do much more so. And that's what Cicero's message was. So again, I'll conclude by saying, you know, blessed are the sayings of the Bible. Read your Bible. I will be reading into Isaiah very soon as possible so I can do a few blogs on what prophecy is. Because, again, as an individual searching and floundering through life, I now do believe in prophecy. I do believe in the truth that Jesus did his all to give us, and that if we have the courage to look inside ourselves and find out who we really are and not be afraid of what we can do, then, you know, we live timeless lives. You know, we, instead of the horizon of past and future, we go vertical. And that's what great sages in the past have done. They've been enlightened. They know the power of the Creator, and they become connected to it. So bless you all, and that'll be all for today.